What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a listener named Avi.
I'm Avi, and I like art, and I'm 11, and what if there was a cat named Snowy, and she was as white as snow, and she was Snow White's cat, and he loved to play with mice and had a friend mouse named Nippy. Bye. Thank you. I love your show. Goodbye.
Avi, thank you so much for this question. I've been wanting to turn it into a story for ages. And now we've got an add-in question from Zoe and sibling Kelly.
My name is Zoe. I'm 6 years old. I love dogs. And my what if question is, what if dogs could jump through mirrors? Bye!
Ooh, I wonder which dog will be jumping through mirrors this week.
Probably me, Fred the dog!
Probably.
But before I jump through any mirrors, I've got a woof-woof to Sean. He's 10 years old and likes sports, Stump Mr. Eric, and me, Fred the dog.
And I'm here to give a meow out to Mira. She's 7 years old and likes drawing, and me, JF Cat.
Yes, thank you to our newest patrons, Mira and Sean. Now let's find out what if dogs could jump through mirrors, and what if a cat named Snowy loved to play with mice and had a friend mouse named Nippy. Today's story starts in a world called Fablarney, where fairy tales come to life, but not always how you'd expect. This is where you imagine gentle, sparkly music to really set the scene. Nice work. We hear the echoing voice of a magic mirror, deep and grandiose.
You, my queen, are fairest of all. And I know best as a mirror on a wall.
Oh, I know, darling. Just keep talking.
Of course, my fair queen. Should I speak of your big eyes or your cute fluffy paws?
Mirror's choice, love. Do go on.
Oh, please. This mirror's got more hot air than a dragon sneeze.
Fred, I haven't actually gotten to you yet.
Hey, I'm just trying to enjoy my new magic mirror from Zoe and Kelly. It lets me see stories from throughout the world, pool. But this one feels kind of outdated.
Meanwhile, back in Fablarney...
Oh, fine.
The fairest creature in all the land strutted proudly through the Worrywood on her beautiful, fluffy paws. Her name was Snowy White. And if you were paying attention to the what if question, you'd know that she's Snow White's cat. She was so confident in her beauty that the trees of the Worrywood literally leaned away from her as she passed. But every now and then, she'd begin to doubt herself, and the trees would close in. So she'd find the nearest stream or pool and check her reflection again, to make sure every tuft of fur was in place, every whisker matching on each side of her face. And as she peered into a particularly rocky stream, she heard,
"Help! Help! I can't swim!"
A baby mouse was flowing down the stream, bouncing from rock to rock, unable to grab for purchase. On the perfectly clean, smooth stones of Slips Creek,
oh dear, that mouse is almost as cute as me, but I'm not the jealous type.
With a nimble flick of her paw, she scooped the baby mouse from the stream and set it down safely.
Oh, you bit me. Sorry, I thought you were trying to eat me, said the mouse.
I would never, said Snowy. You're the one doing the eating, so I guess I'll call you Nippy.
Whatever you say, Mum, said Nippy.
And when Snowy White returned to her castle with a cute baby mouse on her back, the whole kingdom cooed and oohed even more than usual. Even the mirror had to agree.
You're even fairer with this mouse accessory.
Don't I know it, said Snowy. And Nippy, well, he was a little confused about all this talk of fairness and cuteness. But since Snowy White had saved him and named him, he decided not to say anything. A year passed, and Snowy's big-eyed fluffiness stretched into the long, sleek features of an adult cat. Still, she played with Nippy in front of the mirror every day, but now the mirror remarked only over Nippy.
Oh, fair Nippy, the cutest mouse I've ever seen.
Sure, whatever you say, Mira,
said Nippy, who was finally old enough to give voice to his confusion and discomfort.
Hi, Snowy,
asked the mouse.
Oh, what is it?
Said Snowy, exasperated, as she adjusted her whiskers and groomed her fur, trying to get the mirror to look at her.
I don't like how this mirror calls me fair all the time. What's it even mean?
It means that mirror's completely out of line talking about your body.
We don't talk about other people's bodies.
Maybe we can notice a new haircut or a cool t-shirt, but that mirror's gonna mess up everyone in Flabarney.
Flabarney.
Everyone in Fabooty with its fairness talk.
And back in Flabarney,
I prefer Fabooty.
Snowy found herself losing patience with Nippy.
Well, fairness means that...
I thought fairness was how we treat each other. But this mirror makes it sound like some sort of value judgment.
You tell her, Nippy!
It's not fair that you're the fairest, and I'm not...
hissed Snowy, swiping a paw at Nippy with her claws unsheathed for the first time. Nippy nipped her, and she pounced toward him, playing cat and mouse like they had many times before. Except it didn't feel like a game anymore.
Oh.
Nippy fled into the Worrywood.
Oh, please don't go, Nippy!
Called the mirror, making Snowy even more angry.
Who will I look at with you gone?
But the dark branches of the Worrywood sensed Nippy's fear and confusion and quickly closed around the mouse, hiding him from view. Snowy found herself overtaken by a dark humor and...
Nope, I'm sorry, Mr. Eric. I can't have the evil queen cat send out a hunter to try to get the mouse. And then there's poison apples and a prince who wants to buy a coffin for some reason.
Listen, friend, I didn't write the story.
Well, we're gonna rewrite it. I'm getting in the mix.
And with that, Fred jumped through the magic mirror and emerged in Flabarney as...
Stinky, the seventh dog. What's that smell?
Said Muddy, another one of the seven dogs. But Fred simply puffed out his chest, taking in a deep whiff of himself. Like he'd just won a medal for stinkiest dog in the kingdom.
Which I had.
Which he apparently had. But then he realized,
hey, what am I doing in the shed of the seven dogs?
I was supposed to come out next to the mirror, so I could save the baby mouse.
As if,
cried the murky mirror in this large dog shed.
We've got this whole kingdom nicely organized according to each creature's fairness. So naturally, I brought you here.
The mirror looked different, but it spoke with the same voice. And the six other dogs, of all different shapes, sizes, furs, and smells, hung their heads, with ears and tails drooping as they shied away from the mirror.
Oh, you poor doggies,
said Fred.
This mirror's only magic is the cruel lies it speaks.
Plus the teleporting people anywhere and seeing all the things.
But mostly the lies.
And because he'd become a part of the story, he knew their names. Muddy and Cruddy, Slimy and Grimy, Stuffy and Scruffy. They all began turning away from the mirror and looking upon their little old friend Stinky, who had finally found his voice.
Look at you. Each one of you is my amazing friend. Slimy, you're like a portable slip and slide. It's goo. I mean true.
Stuffy, you've got that weird honk sneeze that scares away the squirrels so they don't get our nuts.
It's a living.
And me? I'm stinkier than a rotten egg in a diaper recycling factory.
There's no one stinkier than you,
said Scruffy.
But what about the rest of us?
Imagine what inspiring thing I might have said to you if there was time. And then make it even more inspiring than that. And then follow me, because we have a baby mouse to save.
The seven dogs set off through the Worrywood. But without a scent to follow, they feared they might never find the little mouse. And as the hours passed, their anxiety grew.
But I kept motivating them with my words and smells.
And yet still, they couldn't find the mouse. The sky began to darken as the Worrywood closed in upon them, blocking out even moonlight and starlight.
This is where I shine,
said Cruddy, a hairless dog who'd covered himself in warm, fuzzy, phosphorescent moss after years of rolling in just the right kinds of muck.
I'm like Rudolph, except covered in glowing mold.
There he is,
said Fred, who had apparently seen the mouse even though I hadn't described him yet.
You were taking too long!
And Nippy abruptly appeared, revealed by Cruddy's glow, as the little mouse stared into a stream.
That ain't just any stream,
said Grimy, an expert in not taking baths.
That's Slip's Creek, the fastest, rockiest, most dangerous to baby mouses who can't swim stream, and all the Worrywood.
And yet Nippy, eyes wide and unfocused, kept creeping closer to the dangerously rapid waters of Slip's Creek. As the seven dogs closed in upon the mouse, they heard a familiar, if slightly bubbly, voice.
So fair, so cute. Just let yourself drift closer. Then I can look upon you always.
Oh, how'd the magic mirror get here, too?
Where Slip's Creek ran, the Worrywood pulled back, letting in just enough moonlight to turn the stream into a silvery mirror.
Okay, so the mirror's got another magical power. But his words are still the most dangerous, Nippy. Oh, don't listen.
Fred was by far the oldest of the seven dogs, and they were all moving slowly. After hours of searching through muck and mud, Nippy was a paw's length from the edge of the water when a white streak burst into the clearing. It was Snowy, sprinting more nimbly than any dog could manage.
Snowy, Snowy!
The white cat leapt at Nippy, paws outstretched, and in this darkness, no one could see if her claws were in or out. Then both cat and mouse plunged into the rushing stream together.
I'll save you,
said Stinky, or Fred as you might know him, stretching out his magically long tongue, but he was too far away. Then the other dogs leapt into action. Scruffy splashed into the creek first, slowing the current by shedding a seemingly endless amount of fur. Like, how is it that this dog could somehow never stop shedding? But Snowy and Nippy still slipped by. Then Stuffy ran ahead, huffing and puffing, jumping into the water, and gumming it up with a tremendous doggy sneeze.
Yeah.
The rapids slowed enough for them to see Snowy holding up the little mouse with one brave paw as the cat bounced from one rock to the next. Slimy and Grimy finally dived in, clouding the water more than 10 toddlers could after a spaghetti dinner. The voice of the magic mirror was beginning to sound a bit muffled.
Stop mucking up my fair water.
The magic mirror was losing confidence, but Snowy and Nippy were losing consciousness. And the Worrywood closed in until Cruddy's glow was the only light in all the land. In went Muddy, and finally Cruddy. Slip's Creek was a murky mess, and for the record, I never condone dumping anything into creek water, unless it's a villainous magical mirror.
No fair.
The magic mirror's spell suddenly broke, and Nippy's eyes refocused just as he and Snowy began to sink beneath the surface.
Freddy Ex Machina!
The flow of the creek had slowed to a trickle, and Fred's tongue finally scooped up Snowy White and Nippy the Mouse.
What's the matter with her?
Asked Nippy.
She's not moving.
Maybe she ate a poison apple in the river,
guessed Scruffy.
Okay, I gotta teach you medieval dogs about first aid,
said Freddy, who, being a member of the Fur Force, took a CPR course every year.
Yeah.
And after a few squishy tongue chest compressions, Snowy White coughed up murky water and began breathing again.
Oh, Nippy, can you ever forgive me?
Said the soggy white cat.
I thought being fair was all that mattered, but what I did to you, that wasn't fair at all.
The Worrywood gently pulled away from the seven dogs, the once white cat, and the little mouse, and the creek began to clear as all the creatures climbed out of the water.
Yes, you have learned the important lesson I was trying to teach you all along,
said the magic mirror.
Excuse me,
said Snowy, arching her back as she hissed at the water.
If it hadn't been for the kindness of these dogs and little Nippy, I'd have lost my way listening to you.
But you didn't, and so you are stronger thanks to me.
That doesn't make all your hurtful lies a good thing, said Nippy.
There's not just one kind of beauty,
said Fred.
And it isn't just what we see.
Beauty's also what we feel,
said Muddy.
A warm hug, a kind word, a happy song that makes us feel beautiful inside.
Beauty's what we do, too,
said Slimy.
Helping each other, showing appreciation, letting smaller dogs ride down your slimy back.
And it's also in how we see the world, said Snowy. What we take the time to notice, and ourselves, and others, and all around us. My fur has never been more dirty and covered in stuff from these dogs. That doesn't bear thinking about. But this is the fairest I've ever felt.
Oh, yeah, me too. Did some good muck by this Lipsqueak. Who else wants a roll?
And the seven dogs, after their impromptu bath, did what most every dog wants to do. Rolling in leaves, detritus, and other unspeakable things, until they smelled like a bucket of slugs.
As good as a bucket of slugs.
I don't understand,
said the mirror in the moonlight.
How is any of this beauty?
Maybe you'll just have to reflect on it.
And wishing his friends farewell, Fred leapt into the mirror that was Slips Creek, headed back to What If World.
Oh, wait, couldn't you find any other mirror?
Sorry, nope.
I know there's a shiny rock here somewhere.
Bye, everybody.
Cruddy's fungus might be reflective, but...
The end. Kelly, Zoe, and Avi, thanks so much for your questions, and I hope you all enjoyed your story. Folks at home, remember that beauty isn't just what you see. It's what you feel, what you do, and the good things you take the time to notice. Talk to your grown-ups about where you find beauty. A muddy puddle, a messy drawing, an old dog, or even your own reflection. And try taking the time to notice beauty in one unexpected place each day. The more you practice it with your family, the more joy you will find in this messy, wonderful world. Maybe one of these beautiful experiences will inspire your next What If question. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who practice finding beauty in the most unlikely places. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICAN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.